Amen.
Well, great to see a full house here this morning. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jason O'Sullivan. Sharon has just briefly introduced me. I'm married to Adele. I'm from Clondalkin. But I was thinking about this morning. I grew up spiritually talking, and in the kingdom, I grew up in the House of Liberty. I grew up at the Tribe of Liberty. And the Tribe of Liberty is in three different locations around this city. And I just love being with the Tribe of Liberty. The Tribe of Liberty has their own stamp. It has their own approval from God. It has their own song. And you know, the Tribe of Liberty worship different to everybody else. I think everybody's tribe has their own war cry. And you know, I was thinking Adele was at some of the girls might have been there. Adele was at a meeting up in the north one time. And the pastor or the preacher, whoever it was, said to them, I want you to be in groups of four or five. I want you to start praying for one another. So Adele was praying like some other girls here that she was with. But someone from somewhere in the north came over. And he said to her, are you from Liberty Church? And she says, yeah, I am. She said, how did you know? She says, I know by the way you worship and by the way you pray. Isn't that amazing that we're known that we have a different tongue and a different worship? Amen? Amen. And this morning, you know, it was great listening to all the stories, the mission teams. It's absolutely amazing what's going on. I'm blown away by what God can do and what he's doing and what he's done. Amen? In everybody's lives. But I was looking at this ball, this bouncy ball of the world, yeah? And I was looking at it, and this morning I'm going to be talking about the dream of God. I'm going to be talking about, are you a dreamer? But God showed me that there's colors all over this hair, all over this ball. And this morning before I start, and before I start to preach, I just want to release the color of God. I want to release the dream of God. And I want to release it in this house. Now, how am I going to do that? Symbolically, I'm going to do that. I'm going to let this ball go around this place. And I want the whole world and every county in Ireland and the whole world to know that God has a dream for them and that there's color in God. Amen? So as this ball is going around, I want to touch them. Every time this ball is touched, it's touching, someone else is touching the country. And I want the dream of God prophetically to be released in that country. Amen? Amen. Let it rip. Go for it. Amen. 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 Come on. Come on. Over this side. Come on. On, Louise. Over this side. Come on. Down the back. Down the back. Down the back. Good stuff. Good stuff. Down the back in the middle there. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your dreams. We thank you for your color in this place, O God. We thank you for the color of Ireland that's being released in this country, O God. And the world, O God. You know, Belarus and Russia and Africa will never be the same because of the Irish people. Just like when St. Patrick sent out those who evangelize and preach the gospel. That's what Liberty is doing. They're sending people out to show and preach the love of God. Amen. Amen. You know, see this book here. This book is an amazing book. Not only does this book tell you who God is, but this book tells you who you are. Now Kenny says to me, Pastor Noel said to me last week, you're right, Jay. He said, not only do you read the Bible, but the Bible reads you. And you know, I've learned so much about God from his word. But I also learned so much about myself. You know, growing up as a young fella in Clondalkin, I wouldn't have been the quietest, to say the least. But on paper, in prisons and police stations and schools and everywhere else, on paper, I was an outcast. I was a failure. I was someone to stay away from. But in this book, it says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And that's the same for each and every person here this morning. This book can change your life. This book can change your life. And we're going to get into God's word this morning. And you know, as I said, the Lord gave me this message. And this is a message that I feel people have been waiting to hear. This is a message from heaven. This is something what the Father wants you to hear. And that's the reason why I'm here. So the title of this message is, and church, if you can just grab hold of this and just be attentive to what I'm telling you this morning, I believe you're going to be a different person going out here this morning. See that mirror outside there? Get a look at that going out. I can guarantee you're going to be different going out here this morning. Not because of what I say, but because of what God says about you and what the Holy Spirit is going to do in you and around you and on you. Amen? Amen. And church, intercessors and people on the prayer team, start praying for words for people and visions. We're going to release that at the end. Amen? We're going to release the color and the dream of God in this place. Because church, it's up to us to bring it out there. Church is brilliant. We love church. But that's why we're in Bray and we're in Clondalkin and we're out there during the week and we're going on mission trips. Because we have to bring the color and the dream of God outside the four walls. Amen? And it's up to the tribe of liberty, us here, to do that. Do you agree? Amen? Do you agree? Amen. These are all awake anyway. Amen. You know, church, God can speak to you any way he wants and use anything he wants to get his word to you. I'm going to share an experience with you that I had when I first got saved. This might get me into a little bit of trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. I was saved in 2010, Christmas Eve 2010. And while I was in Lifeline, Philip is sitting over here, while I was in Lifeline, a lad gave me an iPod. I was saved and delivered from my drug addiction. The day I walked in, Jesus was waiting for me at the door. He saved me and delivered me from my drug addiction. No detox, no nothing. Bang, set me free. He set me free from my addiction. And I knew I was home that day, that I belonged to God. I knew that day I belonged to God. But my mind was in bits. My head was all over the shop. And I remember walking in that day, and Philip called me into the office the next day, and he says to me, and I asked you how you feel. And I says, do you really want to know? And he said, yeah. I says, I feel like a train wreck has gone off in my head. That's the way I felt. The baggage of what I carried and what I'd done and what I'd been involved in for the last 25 years was all up here and it was in here. So I said, my head was like a train wreck. So a lad that was there, this wasn't allowed by the way, but that's why I said it might get me into a bit of trouble. He gave me an iPod, and I was lying in bed, and for 9 weeks I didn't sleep because my mind was in bits. But on that iPod, there was a song by Coldplay, and it said, lights will guide you home, I will try to fix you. And God ministered to me through that song, night after night after night, for many weeks. And he brought me through a time of warfare and madness in my mind. But what I'm trying to say to you is, and I said all that to say this, that God uses absolutely anything to get his word to you. That song, it wasn't Chris Martin singing. It was Jesus himself. The words of God were coming through that song and they were ministering to me. And they kept me for such a time as that. And so much so that I said to Adele, some time ago I said to Adele, Adele, next time I get a chance to go and see Coldplay, I'm going. And she says, right, you're on. So it just so happened a few weeks ago, they were playing in Manchester in the great stadium, the Etihad Stadium. Is that right? How are you, Stephen? But anyway, they were playing there. And so we got tickets. We went over to see them. And guys, talk about God using someone or using a place or the thing to get his word to you. I said I wanted to go there because I wanted to hear that from the horse's mouth, meaning I wanted to hear him singing it live himself. So we went. And we went into the stadium anyway. So when that song came on, it was full. There was about 80,000 people and all over the pitch. Great seats. We were up looking down on the stage. And I was just in awe because I was thinking about Jesus all the time because of what he'd done through this man that sang that song. So when the song came on, Adele says, let's stand and dedicate this to Jesus. So as he sung the song, we stood up and we lifted our arms up and we dedicated it to Jesus for what he'd done for me. And we just gave him gratitude and worship for that. But that wasn't it. The song finished. And as the song finished, Chris Martin walked down the aisle, he got on his knees, and he started singing Amazing Grace. And I was like, wow. It was just like God had opened the heavens. He'd shone a light down on me, and he says, I'm not forgetting about you. He said, you remember what I done for you 5 years ago? I'm still doing it today. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to talk about a message on there, preach about a dream and dreams. And you know, I had a dream all my life to be free from drugs, to be free from the madness in my mind, to be free from the chaos of this world. And I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how I was going to get it. I didn't know God. I knew though he was out there somewhere. But I didn't know that you could actually have a living, talking relationship with Jesus. My mind couldn't comprehend that. So in order to get free, as I said, I had a dream to get free. I traveled all over the world to get free from addiction. I had my blood flushed out. I had implants put in. I was kept in padded cells. I went through crazy stuff all over different countries, different treatment centers. But today, I walked into Lifeline on Christmas Eve 2010. It was a snowy evening and I was broken and I was in bits. I literally crawled up to the doors of that place and I said, God, I don't know who you are or where you are, but here I am, what's left of me. And he set me free that night, and that was my dream, that I'd be set free from addiction and have a belonging in life. We all have this emptiness and this longing in life. No matter what you have, money won't get it for you. Property won't get it for you. Women, men won't get it for you. Stature won't get it for you. Being up in the higher echelons of society won't get it for you. There's this need within each and every person on this earth. And there's only one person that can meet that and fill that. And his name is Jesus. And that's the dream that everybody in this world has. What is a dream? The word dream means a succession of images, thoughts, or emotions passing through the mind during sleep. An involuntary vision according to a person while awake. An aspiration, goal, or aim in one's life. When God gives you a dream, it encourages you, it strengthens you, and it propels you towards your destiny. God's dreams propel you towards your destiny. We were away in America a couple of years ago, me and Adele, and we went to a church, and we heard a story of a young boy, and his dream was that his father would teach him how to ride his bike. One day, his father bought him a push bike, but that afternoon, his father was involved in crime, and that afternoon, his father was arrested and put in prison. That broke that young heart of that boy. That boy had a dream that his father would teach him how to ride a bike. So that night, he's lying in bed and Jesus came to him. Jesus took him in a dream by the hand. He brought him out into the garden, opened up the shed door, took his new bike out, and brought him down the park and taught him how to ride his bike. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus would come, and he's still coming. And he does it all the time. And he fulfills dreams. You know, what father wouldn't delight in fulfilling his son or daughter's dream? If you know your son or daughter, wife or husband has a dream, would you not just delight in fulfilling that dream? If any of you have a daughter or a son or a friend and they have a dream, would you not just delight in being partnering with that person to fulfill that dream? There's Antoine and a young girl. She probably had the dream of going off to Belarus. That dream was fulfilled because Anne stepped out as a mother and believed God. And her dream was released. Amen. So if us being earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more would your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Church, God has given everybody heavenly dreams at one time or another. He has many ways of speaking to us, but one of them is through dreams. The Bible talks about people who had many amazing dreams of God. And here is one of them. His name is Joseph. And here is the story. A young TJ is going to put it up on the screen if you can. You want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. And we're starting in verse 1. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jacob. You know, Jacob sitting up there, I want to say this as well. The Lord told me about 2 or 3 months ago, probably more, 4 or 5 months ago, that TJ was going to preach the Word of God. And I believe that. And TJ, I release that today in you. I unlock it in the name of Jesus. And I call you forward, TJ, and I say you're a lover of the Word and God loves you. And I call in your dream to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Stick with me now. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man, 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field. And when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood up, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" They hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told his brothers, "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down on the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him. You know, church, people can get jealous of your God-given dream. But his father kept the matter in mind. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks, and his brothers, the sons of Bilhah, Now his brothers had gone to graze their flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to them, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers, with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent them off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they're grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go down to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." The story of Joseph is an amazing story. because Joseph came from a place of being a servant to being served. He come from a place of being thrown into a pit to die and coming from a pit to a palace. The Bible says he actually, in the end, because of his dreams, in the end, he became second in command over the whole of Egypt. He became the president. God rose him up, and it was all because of a dream. Joseph had opposition to his dreams. When Joseph spoke about his God-given dreams, there was opposition. You see, church, usually when it's a God-given dream, there is opposition to it. And unfortunately, it's usually the people around you that oppose to a force. You see, I had a dream to be free, but people said to me, "You will be like this till the day you die, Jay." But God had a plan. And God has a plan for each and every one of you here that has a dream. Look at Joseph. His own brothers wanted to tear his dream apart. Actually, they got so jealous of his God-given dream, they threw him in a pit to die. That's why it's always important that you share your God-given dreams with positive people. People that are going to help you fulfill your dream, not kill it. Church, if you have a dream from God, get around positive people. Get around positive people that's going to encourage you in your dream. That's going to add to your dream, and that's going to say to you, go for it. Go for it. If God gave you a dream, run with it, believe it, and trust it to the one who gave it to you. Behave as though you believe your dream. Church, if God has given you a dream, behave as though you believe your dream. You see, you can't think wrong and feel right. So if you're thinking of your dream as high in the sky or whatever out there, that's not the way he wants it to be. He wants you to take hold of what he's given you. And he wants you to run with it. He's given it to you for a reason. Don't you just know the ones who live this way? I'm looking at some right now. There's people in here this morning that are running with their dreams. And maybe there's some people here this morning that's not. Dreams are like a golden ladder that God gives you to take you out of here. When God gives you a dream, it lifts you up. It raises you up. It lifts you out of here. It gives you something to live for. Amen? There are some people coming out of pit today. Do you believe that, church? There's some people coming out of pit today. Amen. Just like God done for Joseph. Church, when God gives you a dream, he's factoring in his ability to fulfill it, not yours. If God gives you a dream, he's going to fulfill it, not you. It's a grace thing. When he gives you a dream, he brings it to pass. You just have to partner with him. You see, it's all by grace, not our strength. Isn't that great, church? Isn't that great? It's all by grace. Somewhere in life, we stop dreaming. Maybe something that has happened to you in your life has killed your dream or stopped you from dreaming. Something in life, somewhere along the line, has stopped you from dreaming or killed your dream. But God is in the business of bringing dreams alive again. Because what he's put in you, it'll come to pass. God is faithful. God is faithful. If he's given you a dream, it's going to come to pass. It's he that fulfills it. It's he that fulfills it. That's going to change today, church. There's some people here this morning that had a dream. They had dreams given to them by God. Something in their life or someone in their life stopped them from dreaming. They put a cap on it. That cap is coming off this morning. Dreams are being released this morning. Just like that ball bouncing around here this morning. There's going to be dreams bouncing around here this morning, church. Do you believe God has given dreams to people? Yeah? Hands up anybody who's ever had a dream from God. Do you believe it's going to come to pass? Church, do you believe it's going to come to pass? Amen. Let's say it in faith. We believe it's going to come to pass. Amen. Dreamers are doers. They believe God's heavenly dream by faith and partner with God and roll it out on the earth. Dreamers are doers. They believe God's heavenly dream by faith and partner with God and roll it out on the earth. Don't let anything get in the way of your dream. Don't let anything get in the way of your God-given dream. Dreamers say stuff like, I haven't got time for all this messing and going after me dream. Dreamers say stuff like, I haven't got time for all this gossip, I'm running after me dream. Dreamers say, my life is too short, I'm running after me dream. Dreamers say stuff like, God has showed me this, God told me that, I'm running after my dream. Dreamers say stuff like, God told me I'm going to be the next Steve Jobs, I'm running after me dream. God told me that I'm going to be the next Ryan Hart Bonnke, I'm running after me dream. God told me I'm going to start a new kids ministry in the city, I'm running after me dream. God told me I'm going to be internationally known as a worship leader and songwriter, I'm running after my dream. God told me my family is going to be saved, I'm running after my dream. Touch the person next to you and say, I'm running after my dream. You're running after your dream. You're running after your dream. You're running after your dream. And you know, when you're running after your God-given dream, your wife or your husband, children or family are blessed. Because God is all known, and he would not give you a dream that would affect or upset your family in any way. True dreamers want other people's dreams to come to pass. True dreamers want other people's dreams to come to pass. Church, could you imagine if each and every one of us asked one of our neighbors here, what dream has God given you? And we pray and we ask God to bring that dream to pass for them. Could you imagine the dreams and you imagine the potential that would be released in this place? The dreams of God would be coming to pass because true dreamers are encouraging one another. Let's be a church of dreamers. Let's be a world of dreamers. A dream can be like, I dream of having peace in my life. I dream of having a godly marriage. I dream of one day not being bound by fear. I dream of one day being free from insecurity. I dream of one day my kids will be free from addiction. I dream of one day having God as my Father, Jesus as my friend, and the Holy Spirit as my comforter. I dream of one day having the money to expand the kingdom of God. I dream of one day of being free. Acts 2:17 says this. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And see that bit where it says, your old men will dream dreams. I don't think that's just for old men. What I think God is saying is that you're not too old to dream. Doesn't matter what age you are. Dream. Ask God for a dream. Keep dreaming. So my question to you this morning is, are you a dreamer? Phil Swan, are you a dreamer? Amen. Are you a dreamer, church? A dream can change your destiny. And also, there's dreams that you've had that can share and change other people's destinies. I'm going to share a story with you that a dream I had, and it actually changed someone else's destiny. I remember before I got saved, I was lying on my ma's couch in the house in Clondalkin. And my legs were at the state where they were going to amputate my legs. My two wrists were broken in 5 or 6 places. My chest bone was broke. And I was up to here in addiction. And the madness in my mind. And I remember there was an old friend of ours. Her name was Anne Hogan. And she worked in the children's hospital here. And I had wounds in my legs, and they went down to the bone. And she wasn't a Christian yet. And she used to come in to my mother's house every second day. She'd get down on her knees. She'd wash my legs. She'd wrap my legs. And she'd tend to my medical needs. And she'd done that right up until the time where I went into Lifeline. I'd gone through Lifeline, and God had done some stuff for me, loads of stuff for me. And during my time in Lifeline, and when I come home, and when I was in church, I started to pray for this woman, and I had a burden on my heart for her, because she had a real pastor's heart. It was a gift she had, but she wasn't saved. And I remember she used to have all this feng shui stuff in her gaff, and she used to be into, you know, she was searching. She was searching for this remedy, as Louise said. She was searching for this thing that she'd longed for all her life. And she was going to mediums and doing all sorts of stuff. So I kept praying and interceding for her. Me and Adele was praying over the house and everything else. So one night, I'm lying in bed about a year ago. God gives me a dream. During the dream, he wakes me up and he says to me, Jay, I want you to go up to Anne Hogan's house. She's going to accept my son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I jumped up and I says to Adele, I'm about to get a dream from God. I said, what did he say? I says that Anne Hogan, the woman who dressed me legs before I got saved, was going to accept his son Jesus as her Lord and Savior. So I says, what? She said, well, go on. So I got dressed, and I'm not joking you. I went up there, and I was like, you know, I was full of excitement, but at the same time, I had this voice in my ear saying, what's this load of rubbish you're listening to? I had this voice in my ear, but I was believing God. I was believing the dream he'd given me. I knocked on her door. I said, Anne, can I come in? I went in, and I shared the gospel with her, and I told her that I had a dream from God. You know, that day, she gave her heart to Jesus. She openly confessed that Jesus was her Lord and Savior. She asked Jesus in her heart. But here's the thing. Here's the greatest thing of all. She was saved. But there's another side to the story. She terminally ill cancer. And 2 weeks later, she died and went to be with the Lord. Can you believe that? Your dream can change someone else's destiny. Amen. 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 So I'm finishing on this. And if the worship team can come back up, please. Are you still with me, church? Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Amen. God is so good. He's so faithful. He just loves to give dreams to his children. You know, there's some people here this morning that have had dreams that have been killed on them. They have had dreams that have been suppressed on them. They have had dreams that they thought would never come to pass. But I'm here to tell you that that's all going to change. But you have a part to play in this. You have to partner with God. And you have to believe God that the dream he has given you, you're going to grab hold of it by faith, and you're going to partner with him, and he's going to work it out in you. He's going to bring that to pass. And I know God is speaking to people here this morning. I know people have dreams. They have dreams for themselves and their family. They've had dreams of their family coming back together. They've had dreams of relationships coming back together. They've had dreams of being free. I had a dream to be free, and God set me free. I was in a cell in Mountjoy Prison, 10 foot by 4 foot. All I had was this, but I had everything. God gave me a dream that I would be free. And that dream came to pass. A fella came to me in Mountjoy prison and he says to me, I thought your God set you free. I said, he did, in here. You see, my dream took me above the prison walls. It took me out of that prison cell. I could only imagine, and I could think what Paul, when he was writing all the books of the New Testament, he was sitting in there and God was giving him dreams. I know what that felt like. I know what it felt like. Because dreams of God bring it from a place of being in a cell to being in a mansion. It lifts you up to the places where God is seated. It brings you out of the pit. The dream of God can release something in you that nothing else can release. And today, church, there's some people here this morning that need their dreams released. They need them unlocked. And God is here to do it. And church, I'm going to ask you, and don't hesitate, if you have a dream within you, or you have a dream that you want to see coming to pass, come forward and we'll pray with you. And we're going to ask God to unlock the dream that's within you. And the dream is going to take you from the pit and bring you to the palace. It's going to bring you above the prison walls. You know, you might be in a prison of insecurity or fear or anxiety, but the dream of God will bring you above that prison wall. The dream of God brings you above the walls of insecurity, the walls of fear, the walls of anxiety, the walls of addiction, the walls of bondage. It brings you above them. The dream of God is being released in this place this morning, church. Grab hold of the dream of God this morning, church. God has given you a dream. Grab hold of it. Embrace it. Say, Father, will you bring it to pass? Will you bring it to pass, Father? I have a dream of being free in this area of my life. Father God, will you bring it to pass? Holy Spirit, I ask you to come right now. Minister to those who have dreams of being free. And as we worship, church, I ask you to come forward. We'll pray with you. Because God has given the keys. And you know, sometimes you have the key to unlock your own dream. The key is faith. The key is stepping out. The key is coming before God and saying, God, I believe that you have a dream for my life. So let's stand, church, and let's worship him. And let's worship him from a place that, just think of that dream he's given you and say, God, will you bring that dream to pass? Will you bring that dream to pass, oh God? That dream you gave me when I was a little girl. That dream you gave me when I was a little boy. That dream you gave me last night. That dream you gave me last week. The dream you gave me 5 years ago. God, I'm bringing it before you. I'm putting my dream on the altar. I'm saying, God, it's yours. You gave it to me. Will you bring it to pass? Jesus, will you bring it to pass? Holy Spirit, come. Come, oh God. We release dreams in the color of God in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Amen.